B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. It's time now for the Bring the Heat line.
It's hot, damn hot.
I don't want a hot take.
Pump your ass.
Bring the Heat is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your AC revved up and ready for summer? Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you.
Okay.
To leave a message for Anthony and Jason, call 610-771-9751.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
Now, Bring the Heat.
Let's go.
All right, Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas, we're filling in for the midday show. Jamie got one more day here for the midday show. It's then me and Joe Stazak the rest of the week. But
it's been a blast.
It's been a lot of fun. We got 1 hour left today, and it starts with Bring the Heat.
Yeah, let the big dog hunt.
It starts with Bring the Heat.
What the hell was that?
That's where Joe Stazak gets to let the big dog hunt.
What's it from?
Don't worry about it. We'll talk about it during a break. Let's be serious here. Let's play the first message.
How do you think that conversation between Gabe Kapler and Cesar Hernandez went? And Gabe was just like, so Cesar, you know, like, you may or may not be benched for not, maybe not running out the ball the other night. You're just going to sit on the bench. Just f***ing bench him, Gabe. Just say, guess what? Cesar, you f***ing bench.
Yes. Honestly, it's that simple. It is that simple to just say, Cesar, you're sitting today because you did not hustle out the ball. After I've told you, after we've had this happen three times already with just you alone, yeah. Not the Gene Segura ones, not the Michael Francos, you alone have not hustled out now three times. So you are benched today. We've talked about it twice.
If you can't handle properly benching somebody, how am I supposed to expect you're going to manage a bullpen, which is the hardest thing a manager does?
Like, dude.
How do you not bench somebody properly?
Listen,
how is that possible?
Just listen to these string of tweets, from Matt Breen. Here's one of his. Cesar Hernandez said he wasn't told by Gabe Kapler that he's out of the Phillies lineup because of his lack of hustle yesterday. As far as Hernandez is concerned, it's just a day off and nothing to do with yesterday. He then follows up with that tweet. Gabe Kapler just clarified why Cesar Hernandez is not in tonight's lineup. It is, he said, in response to what happened yesterday. However, it is not a punishment or a benching. What is that? It's a response, but it's not a punishment? That makes no sense. What's next?
Hey, Sean Rodriguez. The batting average and everything is one thing, but when you want to go and insult the Philly fan base, now we're going to have some issues. For everything that you want to go and say about the Philly fan base, you're arrogant for no reason because your gameplay does not back up your attitude at all, buddy. You just threw yourself to the wolves, and now we're going to feast.
But Sean Rodriguez is tearing the cover off the ball against lefties. Oh, wait, no, he's 0 for his last 15 against left-handed pitching. But it's tough pitchers, right?
There's a 5.5 ERA in there. There's a 5.1 ERA in there. There's a 5.4 ERA in there, a 4.6 ERA, and a 4.5 ERA. And Sean Rodriguez is a combined 0 for 12 versus those guys who he claims are the best pitchers in baseball.
So his batting average in August, that's .095, is...
Booworthy. I forgot every time he came up, he was facing Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, and Zach Greinke.
Yeah, Aroldis Chapman's up against
them. Yeah, I forgot all about that.
All right, sorry about
that. My bad.
What's next?
I guess I was just being entitled.
You know what blows my mind is how the players have emulated Gabe's demeanor. They're passive, slug, apathetic, and entitled. He's not the fighting Phil. They're the pacifist Phil.
When Sean Rodriguez was talking last night, about halfway through when he did his smug little smirk laugh, and then was like, "Yeah, you know, if a guy's slumping, you'd like the fans to pick you up." I started hearing Gabe Kapler. Like literally, his audio transformed into Gabe Kapler, and by the end, I thought I was listening to Gabe.
You thought you were listening to Gabe,
yeah? And wow, they're buddies. How about that? Amazing.
What's next?
How much longer do we have to wait? I mean, is it going to be another season? So is the summer of 2020 going to be as fruitful as summer of 2019? This guy is a total moron. Okay, you or I could manage this team. You got to make moves from time to time to win your team a game. This guy makes moves to lose his team.
I don't know. I mean, does he make so many moves that lose them games all the time. I don't want to defend
a manager
game.
Over the course of an MLB season is probably going to, quote-unquote, lose you about 7 games. That's what they say is roughly the effect a manager has. Gabe's probably not that far above that in decisions that he's made.
A lot of it's
on the players.
Yes.
And the front office.
But
I don't want to call, Graphic Media is going to call me a Gabe defender for saying that. But, like, I do think it. We're overcritical at times. Look,
I
you
agree.
Can fire the guy, and I don't care.
I won't care at all. I won't lose any sleep.
I won't shed a tear.
And if the Giants scoop him up like that, that Bob Nightingale article.
Good
read,
for you.
Go ahead, enjoy yourself in San Fran.
If that happens,
and Sean Rodriguez will go out there with you,
I shed no tears. But I do think we're overcritical of Gabe.
But I do know what I think. What he's really feeling is: are we going to go through another year of the same? Hating the guy and needing to hear these press conferences, the bogus, always positive attitude. Like, that's the stuff that bothers people the most. Andy McPhail said it after last year. He wanted Gabe Kapler to be more critical. That clearly, that message didn't get across either.
Yeah.
What's next?
If you think about it, how the f*** was that a good win? They gave up 6 runs in the third. Then we get our 3 runs back. And then in the ninth, we blow it again and give up another run. That team is f***ing 20 games under 500. How the f*** was that a good win? This team, the Phillies, let's go first.
Did you say, I didn't say it was a good win. Did you say it was a good win? Did anybody say it was a good win?
I mean, I'm sure people have said, like, well, Sean Rodriguez's comments are taking us away from a good win.
Like, ultimately,
any win's a good win.
Yes.
When you boil it down.
Especially when you're in a playoff race.
But
like
when
this.
You blow it and, you know, it gives people
and
some.
And again, it's the same thing. It's the bullpen didn't step up. You couldn't hit with runners in scoring position, and in big moments, you couldn't hit. It always comes back to the same stuff that we've been dealing with all season long. What's next?
Andrew Luck is not retiring. He has an ankle injury. He already had a botched surgery by this terrible organization with a cokehead owner who he doesn't trust. He's playing next year on a 5-year deal with another organization for the age of 30 to 35. So everybody just needs to calm down. Andrew Luck didn't retire. He didn't want to play for the Colts anymore.
All right. So there's a hot take of all hot takes. What do you think?
Yeah. Totally.
You didn't listen to a damn word. You're more focused about food.
I asked Pat to grab me a cheesesteak.
You're more focused about food right now. That caller said he didn't retire from football. He retired from the Colts. I think he retired from football.
I
think it's because of the Colts that his body is in shambles.
I would put it at 50-50 that he returns.
You really think so? Tyrone was saying that yesterday, too. Like
I think he could fully...
29.
Yeah, he could go travel the world for 2 years, stay in minimally okay shape, and be like, wow, I still really have the itch never left me. I feel good finally. First time in a decade I felt healthy. I'm going to give it another shot. And the fact that the Colts are letting him keep that $24 million that they could have asked for back
right.
tells me maybe they think, hey, he might return one day.
You know,
so let's stay in his good graces.
It also tells me they go, yeah, we screwed up not getting you an offensive lineman.
Ryan Grigson should feel awful about himself. How you could not invest in an offensive line after you were lucky enough to get Andrew Luck is beyond me. That's crazy.
It is crazy. By the way, here's some news.
What do we got?
Tiger Woods announced today that he had arthroscopic procedure last week on his left knee to repair minor cartilage damage. So, I mean, the season's over for golf, but
I guess. The FedEx... I never even understand how the FedEx Cup even works. But Rory had the win this weekend. I think, yeah, whatever. I don't know how the golf season, like they're trying to simplify this FedEx Cup, so it's like more of a season friendly.
But yeah, Tiger had the surgery, so I guess he's done for the season.
Okay,
Tiger,
bummer. At least he got his big win back.
That Masters was still a great story.
That was awesome.
The Masters. Yeah. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll play those Sean Rodriguez cuts coming up in a little bit, but let's go back to the phones and talk to Phil Macell. Phil, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how are you? I got 2 points I want to make about the Phillies. One is that I've never heard a fan base and some people in the media criticize a manager in any sport simply because honestly, I think some people just don't like him. It has nothing to do with his baseball skills or analytics or what have you. I think they just don't like
it. Oh, yeah,
it.
I know for a fact that's why a lot of people call in. I took a call last week where a guy said, I don't want to see Gabe Kapler smiling in the dugout during a playoff run. Like, that has nothing to do with his managing. That just has to do with him not liking it.
Phil, you're right. Some people just don't like him. And a lot of that has to do with maybe his six-pack and the coconut oil and the tan and presenting beautifully.
It doesn't sound like Philly.
And his weird words that he uses, like barrel accuracy and all that stuff. But part of it is also people never got over pulling Aaron Nola in his first ever game as Philly's manager after, like, what, 67 pitches, I think it was? Something absurdly low. People never got past that.
Yeah, which is short-sighted to say the least. And, you know, 160 games is a long time. It's a grind. You're away from your family. You're taking flights back-to-back. Little positivity doesn't hurt, no matter what we say. And my last point is I'm so surprised and shocked how McPhail and Klentak have just let their boy hang out to dry for really their shortcomings. And I've never heard them really stand on the podium and take ownership of any of it. They're really just letting him take the heat. I know they listen to the sports radio station.
Oh, they listen. Oh, yeah.
Well, no, Klentak tried passing it. Klentak tried passing on the players. We appreciate the call. Like, to a point, I understood what Klentak was saying when he said it's on our star players.
Yeah, that's what he was talking about. Rhys Hoskins.
Yes.
He's one of those star players.
To a point, I understand what he was saying. But
he's right. I mean,
he's got to look in the mirror and go,
Andy McPhail, what would you say it is that you do here?
Yeah. What is it that you'd say you do around
But,
here?
I mean, you saw him at the Bryce Harper press conference.
Yep. And right before trade deadline. And when he said, if we do, we do. If we don't, we don't.
Okay, so there's him. And Matt Klentak, you saw during the... He's somewhat available. Like, we can put in requests. And he's pretty gracious about coming on.
Yep.
But as far as, like, being present in the dugout, stuff like that, you heard him during the Odubel Herrera situation. You heard him around the trade deadline.
And then after the trade deadline, right after.
Yeah.
And tried telling you that Jason Vargas and... Corey Dickerson was going to be enough.
Yeah. Dickerson's a good player.
Hey, no, they stepped up, and I give him credit.
They were not bad moves. They were upgrade moves.
But I'm not going to give him too much credit because the Mets paid you to take Jason Vargas, and Corey Dickerson you got for money and a player to be named later.
Yeah.
Like, what? Do I have to applaud you for making the phone call?
No, Marcus Stroman makes the needle move.
Yes. You trading a guy who's never going to be in the big leagues probably to get Corey Dickerson and a 26-year-old minor league catcher to get Jason Vargas, who they also paid you money for. I'm not going to applaud you for that.
Yeah, and this goes back even to last year for me. I mean, the Cole Hamels thing still eats me up.
Yep.
He deserved to come back here. He went for three players, two of whom aren't even in baseball anymore. That's next to nothing.
Yeah.
Steve Phillips, the former Mets GM, just like 2-3 weeks ago had a tweet and was like, I'll never understand why people aren't more aggressive in trading for pitchers.
Yeah.
The likelihood that these guys pan out from prospect to major league level is low. So you get them when you can.
That's why I'm always an advocate of proven versus the unknown. Sixto Sanchez, he may have that
title. And you just got the best catcher in baseball.
May have the title of could be the next Pedro Martinez.
And he's been hot lately, but he struggled at first.
Could be.
We'll see if he ever gets to the major.
We don't know if it translates. We don't know. And the people that were angry about it, you weren't watching him pitch.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
You weren't going to watch the Clearwater Threshers.
And like, look, Aaron Nola worked out because guess what? He was a big-time college player. You more or less kind of lessened your likelihood of failing with that pick.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not saying I'm over high school kids in general, but the likelihood of hitting on a high school kid has to be so much lower than taking proven college talents. Yeah. Imagine getting drafted at age 17.
That's a Mickey Moniak.
Yeah. Like, he could work out.
He was the number one overall pick before
but
he could...
more likely...
before he could drive.
Yeah, like, these...
by himself.
I just... I'm not obsessed with taking high school kids. I just think your chances of failing are so much higher.
But yeah, Matt Klentak, he just pushed it to the players. Ah, it's up to them.
Who is it? Cornelius Randolph?
Oh, he had a home run the other day. He's still in Double A, by the way. I just realized that.
Yeah. You know? Larry Green Jr., how'd he do?
Let's see. Cornelius Randolph. He's still in Double A. He's only 22 years old, so there's still hope. He's hitting a whopping...
Oh, yeah, of course there's hope.
Whopping 243.
What's the new trend in the major leagues these days?
Young guys getting up early. Like Josh Bell, they were talking about it on the broadcast yesterday. They were bringing up the Bobby Bonilla thing.
Bobby Bonilla got $1 million on June whatever.
Uh-huh.
All season long, Josh Bell's getting $500,000 this year.
Yeah.
Why? Because and he's still very young.
You look around the leagues, and there's 21 and 22-year-olds thriving everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how old is Ronald Acuña Jr.? 22? 23?
Something like that, and they're calling him the next Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm. There's a kid, Yonder Marte, for the shortstop prospect for the Rays.
Acuña's 21.
21.
He's not even one full year into being able to legally drink. He turned 21 back on December 18th.
Uh-huh. And yeah. Fernando Tatis Jr. and yeah. Vlad Guerrero Jr. And we went out and signed Jalen Ortiz.
Tatis 27. He's an old fella.
He's like Ryan Howard going up at 26.
He's older than me.
That's
crazy. I still got that going for me.
But it's just, they're so frustrating on so many different levels that my heart really can't embrace this team. Like my buddy Brian Hicks will text me all the time and he's just like, I don't recall a Phillies team that had playoff chances
that you hate,
that I've hated so yeah. much. And look, part of that falls on Gabe because he's the one that's out there. He's the one, he's the face of the franchise. He's who you see. And is he overcriticized? Yeah, probably. Does he put out a weird vibe from this team?
Yes.
And did it come out through Sean Rodriguez again last night?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, let's hear from Sean Rodriguez. Here's Sean Rodriguez. Let's play the booing cut, Pat. Here's Sean Rodriguez complaining about the fans booing last night. All right, we'll get that in a second.
Oh, there's another Mrs. Rodriguez tweet.
Oh, what did Mrs. Rodriguez say?
She tweeted at our buddy Graf from media. Oh, they have a big back and forth going.
Oh, what's going
the
on?
The Sam Wilson chain continued. Mrs. Rodriguez is fired up. She said to Sam, what do you expect them to say? What Sean said and then got murdered for it? They're all thinking it. They just won't say it. How most people have reacted to this comment is exactly what he's talking about. It's okay to dish it out, but not take it? And you expect them to just take it?
I'd rather Bryce Harper say it.
She continues. Graf from Media Talk Story says, your comment just proves what we're talking about. Not once have I called you names or belittled you like you just did. So I'll just leave this right here. Check your heart. Are you speaking words of life to others or bringing them down? You're name calling and it's vile, period. But I can't change your heart. Only you can do that. Like this California, everything's cool and everything's got to be positive and we all got to support each. Like, do they?
All right, let's play the immediate message. This is from Sean Rodriguez complaining about booing.
What do you mean you don't know? I'm not the one booing. I'm not the one screaming. I'm not the one saying pretty disgusting things at times. That seems pretty entitled. I mean, you're just making yourself look pretty bad as an individual, as a person, as a fan. You're making guys not want to basically sit there and say, hey, they're going to support you. Hey, they're going to do this. That's tough. There's still a lot of good fans, though. And those are the ones I hear. Those are the ones I pay attention to. The few that might be behind home plate that say, hey, Sean, keep doing your thing. Don't worry about it. Things are coming around. Hey, Reese. Hey, so-and-so. Hey, Bryce. Through the thick and thin, that's when you really get to show your true colors. So when you act a certain way towards somebody because you don't feel like they're doing what they need to do, just look at life in general. I mean, you want to win. There's nobody in here that doesn't want to win. You got to just basically sit there and say, man, let me see if I can't help him get out of what he's in.
All right, cut it there. Cut it there.
Stop.
First, he says, there's not. I hate this because Gabe Kapler says it too, and you're right. Like
didn't you hear him become Gabe about halfway through?
Gabe Kapler said this about 20 times this season. Now Sean Rodriguez said it. There's not anybody in here that wants to lose. Nobody's saying that
nobody
you want
to lose. Thinks you want to lose.
Nobody says that.
We're not idiots.
So take that out of the stuff
that's
that you
stupid.
Say.
That's right? Stupid.
Nobody thinks you guys want to lose.
There's something they're bringing like this like life aspect into it. This isn't life. This is baseball.
Yes.
This is our escape from life.
Yes.
That's why we pour our wallets, our heart and soul into this team as fans, because it's our escape from reality. And when we hear a guy making $500,000, which is more money than I've probably made in my entire life, say that I'm entitled because Reese Hoskins heard a couple boo birds, you are not living in reality. People pour their hearts and soul into this team, and they don't want to be told that they're entitled because they paid their hard-earned money to go boo a player who's underperforming in a playoff stretch. You just broke me.
Man, dude.
Have some perspective. You're playing baseball. You have to deal with some boos.
Take it easy, man.
My Lord! You tell us to have reality checks. What planet are you living on?
I see a vein popping out of your head.
Yeah, that's the most angry I've ever been on radio, ever. And his wife is continuing to go at people, saying, I will never deflate the ego of a man who stands by his teammates and does what is right. Guess what? Rhys Hoskins is a grown-ass man that can defend himself. And you know what happened when he was asked about the booze? He said, I don't care. We won the game. Rhys can handle himself. I don't give a damn what Sean Rodriguez cares about his teammates.
It's pretty entitled.
I'm walking away. I need a breather.
610-632-0975. We got two segments left. Mikey, miss. You see, he got me all confused. He's coming your way, too, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, I just got a text from my wife who told me to calm down.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, Jamie is still alive. I think you should have went dark for this segment. People might have thought that you, like, actually passed out.
I love the people calling fans soft and insecure.
Who's saying that?
Well, people.
Mrs. Rodriguez?
Aside from her, now I'm looped in with her. I haven't even responded to her. And Mrs. Rodriguez, I'm sure Sean is a great person away from the baseball field.
Yeah, nobody's saying that you're not. You did come off like an ass yesterday.
When you use the word entitled, it really bothers me.
It definitely bothers you.
We're not entitled. We're entitled to effort, hard play, smart baseball. That's what we're entitled to as one of the best fan bases in Major League Baseball. I'm not seeing that from this team. So that's what I'm entitled to. Yes. Am I entitled to boo? Am I asking for special treatment from his comments?
No, not at all. By the way, you brought the heat. We brought the heat last segment, and you brought the heat. Bring the Heat is brought to you by American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Is your air conditioner keeping your house cool in the end of summer heat? Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find an experienced heating and air conditioning dealer near you.
Like, am I missing something? How are fans being soft and insecure about this?
The people that agree with Sean Rodriguez are saying, oh, what, you can't take it when you guys always dish it, but you can't take it?
Then don't use the word entitled, because it's the wrong word to use.
Like, okay.
That's so what they think. Jimmy Rollins. Speaking. Mrs. Rodriguez just told you that Sean was basically speaking for the locker room.
Right.
So that's what they think. And look, there was a guy 2 weeks ago who was a New Yorker that was sitting on top of the dugout right before Bryce's huge walk-off grand slam and said $330 million for this, and Bryce gave him a bleep you.
Yeah.
That guy was a New Yorker. All right?
Yeah.
He was the devil dressed in what is it, sheep's clothes? Is that the saying?
Yeah.
So, like, sure. That's not even a Phillies fan. Like, the locker room actually thinks that, what, mediocre play is just okay in this town?
Because, all right, Bryce Harper got booed by, what, 20 people earlier in the year?
And he said, you know what, and he handled it. What's funny is, you know, Mrs. Rodriguez is saying that Sean speaks for the locker room. Bryce and Rhys are the two main focal points of this team.
Yeah.
Both have struggled at points this season, and both handled it perfectly. Bryce said, I know I've struggled. I need to be better.
Yep, so did Rhys.
And Rhys said, I don't care about the booze. We got the win. That's all that matters. So the people that Sean Rodriguez is going to bat for have handled it perfectly.
Yeah. Or because he's just going to bat for him and Gabe. As one caller brought up earlier in the show.
But you know what Bryce and Rhys know? This town and this fan base. Because Bryce has shown a understanding of who we are. He knows what he got into. Rhys Hoskins, after 2.5 years here, knows what he's playing in front of.
Right.
And they both handled it perfectly. Sean Rodriguez has shown me that he has no idea who he's playing in front
of. He's played 50-plus games.
When you call a fan base, and granted, he's only talking about the people that booed, entitled, you're wrong. They're not entitled, and they're not being soft by speaking out against it, because you used a word that offended me. As a lifelong Phillies fan, entitled was a horrible use of words.
610-632-0975. Let's go to another old school baseball fan and Philadelphia fan. Tasty Cake Dom. What up, Dom?
James, I think there were a couple Marco Bellinelli outbursts that were epic as well. But that was right up there.
Sean Rodriguez, he broke me.
Yeah, and you're right. Everything you said is right. I can't believe this guy.
We are not an entitled fan base. I don't know what he's thinking.
What he's all he had to do, he could even, if he went to bat for it, like you said, if he said, man, I'm really glad I could get the win for the skit.
Yeah. How hard is that? I felt great off the streak I was on and help my team get a win.
He could even say, Skip's been criticized a lot this year, and he stood by me and gave me this opportunity. I'm glad I won it for the team. That's okay. We're not going to freak out over that.
Right. I
if you can't understand that fans are just that, they're fanatical, and that they pour their free time, which nobody has enough of. We work too damn much in this country as it is. People are underpaid. They spend their time and money and heart and soul supporting this team. And if they want to let a boo bird fly, they're more than entitled to. And guess what? Your salary, your handsome salaries, and Sean Rodriguez for a 225 hitter to be making $500,000, is you get paid to deal with that. And yeah, you're allowed to go back at us every once in a while, but I'm going to come right back at you again because you just called me an entitled fan for putting... I make a fraction of what Sean Rodriguez makes. And if I buy tickets for my wife and my kid, and I see you or Reese Hoskins, I wouldn't have booed Reese last night. But if I see you come up poor or make a boneheaded play at third base and I want to boo, I have every damn right to do that.
Reese is tough, James. It's a tough watch.
He's lost up there.
Leading off a game, they groove that first pitch every time. I mean, that pitch he got, first pitch of the game, I mean, it was right down the pipes. You got to swing at that. You got to.
The book is out on him, and he's too passive at the plate. And that's the book.
It's unbelievable. But great show. You know, great show. Calm down.
Sorry, I got so angry. Yeah.
great call, Dom.
Addie's laying in bed with my four-month-old, and she was like, yikes, you need to calm down.
Here, this will make you a little bit happier, all right? Jay Gruden, head coach of your D.C. football team.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear the Case Keenum comments yesterday?
No.
Oh, yeah.
What did he say?
Basically, I remember the last time I walked off the field in Philadelphia. I remember that feeling. And yeah, I want to use it as fuel to motivate me. Week one.
All right, good for him.
Good luck.
Good for him, whatever. Jay Gruden says that Eric Flowers, as of right now, is the starting left guard at this point.
That does make me feel good.
Yeah.
So, you go. So left guard, that should be Derek. We're approaching the time where I'm starting to get nervous that a couple guys are going to be out there week one. And one of those guys might
be... a couple guys that are going to be missing?
Yeah.
Oh, like potentially. Fletcher Cox,
Nigel Bradham. I mean, Derek Barnett's going. I hope he's fine because he'll be going up against Eric Flowers. So that would be a great guy to start the season against. You know, there's a couple guys. Brandon Brooks.
Yeah.
We don't really know. Hasn't been cleared. Like, we keep thinking, yeah, on paper. There's a lot of guys still missing.
On paper, on the injured list.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jordan Mailata, I know he's not a starter, but...
Well, let's just say that Lane Johnson isn't ready week one.
Yeah.
I asked this to Trey last week. Who's your starting right tackle?
No, it's Mailata. And Mailata might not be available because he's got the lower back injury.
So if Lane wasn't able to go with his, you know, knee, which, by the way, gives me a little bit of fright because it could potentially be the same knee as last year. I don't know. They haven't really gotten into the specifics of it. Jordan Mailata would be your starting right tackle.
Yeah, but if he's hurt, then you go to Vitae, who hasn't been playing right tackle throughout this preseason.
And who's playing right guard then?
Let's see, Amalo.
He's your left guard.
Yeah, Wisniewski.
Is that who's on who's on the bubble and might not even make the team?
Matt Pryor?
Yikes.
Ew. And Carson's first game back.
And you didn't want to play him in the preseason because why?
Well, because you can't trust your offensive line.
Yeah. And that could potentially... Look, I think Lane will be out there week one. But I'd like to hear some updates on these guys.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Where are we? Because week one is what, 12 days away now?
Yeah.
Or game one?
September 8th. We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
I'm slightly nervous about some of those guys.
We got one segment left. Have you watched Hard Knocks at all this year?
I've watched the first two. I need to play catch up today.
I haven't watched one episode, but the next episode comes out tonight at 10. And, I mean, HBO must be thrilled. Because
John Gruden is a magnet.
They have
the AB thing.
Antonio Brown crap. And this week's episode is going to be their preseason game last week.
Where they on the 80-yard field.
The 80-yard field.
Yeah, HBO is happy as
they
a pagan, believe.
Thrilled.
Yeah.
Good for them.
And there's a trailer going around of tonight's episode where John Gruden's chasing Derek Carr around the field, like calling different yellows at him, or colors at him.
So it's like Chip Kelly when he had the yeah, water noodles?
Yeah, basically. I think John Gruden is one of the most overhyped coaches ever, and I am going to keep an eye on the Raiders this year, that's for sure. Because I think he is...
Oh, yeah, it's going to be... Again, like you said, he's a magnet.
Yeah, like he is... We'll see. I think he's a bad coach.
All right, we'll find out. Yeah. One segment left, 610-632-0975. We'll take a couple more phone calls. Mikey Miss coming your way, too, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Final segment.
1 o'clock hour brought to you by the Rothenberg Law Firm. Philly proud and Philly strong for over 49 years. To find out more, visit injurylawyer.com.
Sorry, that usually gets played at 1:30. That threw me off a little bit.
Ah, jeez.
Final segment here on the Midday Show. Mikey Miss coming your way, too. I'm going to be interested to hear what he has to say about the Sean Rodriguez thing.
Yeah, he usually has a unique take on things, so we'll see what he says. By the way, Thursday this week, massive day here. I'm going to be away, so kind of a bummer. But one of my favorite dudes is going to be joining Mike.
Oh, yeah, it's the once a year, the annual
show, the annual Charles Barkley visit.
And all there, 4 hours.
There is a plethora of things to get into with Charles. He's the best simply because he can talk all sports, obviously.
Yeah.
But always a great day here at the station when Charles sits in for 4 hours with Mike. That's going to be a good time. That's Must Listen Radio this Thursday on the Mike Show.
That is Must Listen Radio.
And you can watch it. You can watch Charles now.
I think, so this is the second year of the TV. I think he was on the TV show last
year. Yeah, I believe
he
was.
And I think it was not too long after the show started, if I'm not mistaken.
On TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, I was like, how great is that?
I want to, this is my last segment of the day.
That's right. It's me and Joe Stazak the rest of the week.
Yeah, 5 a.m. to 2 p.m., 2 days in a row.
Hey,
I promise to never talk about Sean Rodriguez ever again after today. That is my vow to you, to Pat Egan, to Allie, to Dylan, to the listeners.
What if he goes 0 for 4 tonight? He's in the starting lineup.
I am done talking about Sean Rodriguez.
If he's in the starting lineup tonight, he goes 0 for 4 today. What are you going to do? Because obviously we're going to talk about it tomorrow if he gets booed.
I'll have to call him Man Bun. Like earlier in the year, we called Arrieta Tight Pants. And okay.
So you will refer to him?
I will try not to. Bun. But tomorrow, if he's in the starting lineup tonight, there will be a massive boo, I would assume.
He will be discussed tomorrow if he's in the starting lineup tonight.
I am going to promise to try and never talk about him again. Because part of me is upset with myself for letting him anger me so much. But to me, he's disconnected from reality if he can't deal with some of his teammates getting a couple boo birds. Poor guy. So I'm done. This is the last day I talk about Sean Rodriguez.
Good thing you're on the show tomorrow then. 610-632-0975. Mike and Ambler. Mike, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
I am beside myself with his comments. I'm with you, totally. I just can't.
Mike, the thing that really bothers me when you boil it down is they're trying to make this about like life and positive. You're not life. You're our escape from life.
Yes, and it's our right to boo or not to boo. And me personally, I'm not a booer, but I get it. And there's, I mean, he, why couldn't he just be gracious when he got interviewed, be humbled and gracious that he helped his team win when he's batting under 100 in the month of August? It's just, he's the one that's entitled here. And you know what?
Absolutely.
He better keep hitting home runs, because he's going to get his butt booed constantly now. I mean, his tenure here is done, because he doesn't, I mean, it's almost like an unwritten rule amongst professional athletes that you don't comment on booing. It's just part of the game. People have been booing from the day sports were invented.
Yeah.
It's what it is. And for him to make those comments and then, you know, get into these Twitter wars, his wife's involved. It's so childish, and it's so out of what should have taken place here. And
it was just, so, you know, easy to do it right, Mike. All he had to say was, it felt good to help my team get an important win down the stretch in a playoff hunt. That's it.
Right. It's that simple. And he blew it. And now he's, in my eyes, he's dead to me now, because I can't take that.
I never want to talk about him again.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. For me, he's meaningless on the team. I'm happy he got the home run. I'm happy he won the game for him.
Yeah, because you're a Phillies fan.
You know, I mean, and I sit up and I watch these games, and I stay up and I watch the post-game show, and when I saw that, I'm like, I couldn't go to sleep for two more hours, because I just couldn't believe that this guy is making these comments.
That's what I said exactly earlier in the show, Mike. We appreciate the call, is that I didn't even tweet about it last night.
I didn't see it until this morning. I thought last night when I went to bed, I thought we were coming in talking about a great walk-off win in a playoff hunt.
And then you found out.
And then I started reading the comments and I went, really? Like, I just said to Mike, like, I hate when athletes boil this down to life and reality and pick it. You are not that. You don't live in a reality.
Yeah,
like you do, like, and you're a human of that. So, like, outside of the sport, but when it comes to being in between those lines and the salaries you make, that ain't reality.
Let's face it. If he's walking down South Street or anywhere in Philly, people aren't going to boo him.
No.
Oh, Shaw, what's up, man?
Yeah.
You're in the Phillies. That's awesome. You're out here with the people.
And do you think Rhys Hossin's going to get booed when he's out and about?
No.
You're our escape from reality. When you call me or another Philadelphia Phillies fan, maybe it could have been one of my friends booing last night. When you call us entitled, that bothers me, because we are not entitled. We have two World Series in 136 years.
Mike, you miss is up next. Our handoff is brought to you by Philadelphia Hand to Shoulder Center. Specialized care for all hand, wrist, arm, elbow, and shoulder injuries and conditions. For more information, visit hand2shouldercenter.com. Jamie did a great job this week. Thank you for all your time you put into the station. I will be back tonight at 6 for the baseball show. But right now, it's the Mike Missanelli Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.